Hi there, and welcome to this, the 29th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And here we are, as we are well into the month of May, Jennifer. Spring has sprung and we're doing
spring
this.
Spring
has
sprung.
Yeah, really. But what we're talking about today, it's really like a companion piece to something we had done talking about, But You Look So Good, and rethinking But You Look So Good. But today, we're going to dig into the other side of that and where we're going with this in the 29th episode is then rethinking what defines getting worse.
Yeah.
Talk to me, girl.
Well, I guess you want to catch up. Doesn't it feel like it's been a little bit since we've been together? And if you notice, there's one voice missing. Our podcast producer, Ryan, is not with us tonight. And that's unfortunate. But Dan and I think, babe, we're pretty versed at getting worse. I mean,
well, you know. Did you mean to rhyme that?
Though? Oh, no, that was
you're
good.
You're pretty versed at getting worse.
Yeah, right. But I was going to catch up. So Mama Tomato to the baby tomato, and she stomps it and says, catch up.
Nice.
That's my favorite joke like from Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
I always mess it up. So if you know the right joke, think
it,
of Uma Thurman. Anywho, sorry.
Yeah, but catch up. I mean, because it has been a while, and so much is been going on, and we're getting ready now to go into the Walk MS event this weekend. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's the first time it will be in person for the 2 years of the pandemic. So Team Monsters will be together again, and it's a good team. That is our walk team, and we're really excited to see each other. So that will be fun. And then my amazing sister-in-law and her husband and their daughter will be in Michigan visiting us. So that's
all
something.
All the way from Iowa.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Something to look forward to, which for those of us living with multiple sclerosis or any chronic illness, we've talked about how important it is to have something to look forward to.
Absolutely. And so that's an LFT, and that's where we're going with it. And then next week, we are getting into all the advocacy that you ever could want with the virtual MS Day at the Capitol in Lansing, Michigan. And then also we will be going down to Lansing, Michigan the following day for
Older Michiganians Day. And that's a program or an event that's near and dear to Dan and my heart, because it's to meet with legislators to talk about important programs are that benefit older residents of Michigan and those of us living with disabilities. So we're really excited. And again, it's been 2 years since we've been able to go down to the Capitol and meet with legislators.
Isn't that crazy? It's just like, as I'm thinking right now to say, oh, Older Michiganians, Older Michiganders Day, however you say it, but I'm thinking, are we really older Michiganians? But at the same time, we've been doing this for 18 years, 17 years. So
17 years.
So we were older Michiganians back when we were like 30 years old, dude.
Yeah, but it's just how important the program that we're advocating for, the home-based services that provide the caregiver to stay at home while Dan is working, somebody to help me with activities of daily living. I'm very lucky, and it's a program that makes sense, and it helps people stay in their home, because as so many of us Michiganders advocate for, our home is our choice, and we want to stay at home. And for me, the Medicaid My Choice Waiver Program here in Michigan makes that possible, and that's why it's so important to advocate. So you're right, babe. We have two pretty intense but meaningful weeks for both of us.
Exactly. And it's something that which we have been looking forward to. Speaking of LFTs and everything, this is something we have not done in person in Lansing and everything for 2 years, or at the MS Walk for 2 years. So this is an exciting time, and I'm happy to talk about this here and now. However, what we're talking about today, and this is where it really gets into the nuts and bolts of things, of how do you define when you're living with the disease? It's a progressive disease, this here multiple sclerosis is, but how do you define, quote unquote, when you're getting worse?
I suppose the picture of what is getting worse, you know, as I talk right there in the intro, I'm a wheelchair user. This is how I get from point A to point B. My wheelchair, and it's unfortunate the number of people that talk about, oh, I don't want to end up in a wheelchair. Well, I am the picture of that. And as we've spoken about in the past, there are worse things. You know, at least I still have some independence because I'm able to move because of this chair. So I think some people may say, oh, my MS is getting worse. Heaven forbid I need to use an assistive device like a wheelchair, or God forbid, you know, a walker or a cane, just something to make it pretty obvious that I'm living with some sort of disability.
And I think that's the thing that I'm always thinking of, is like when you're talking to other people who have MS, talking about other people who have MS and saying, oh, he or she's not doing so good, or they're not doing well, they've gotten a lot worse. And so much of it, they're looking at physical abilities. And I think that, am I doing better than I was 20 years ago when I was diagnosed? No, I mean, I'm not as good as I have been, but I just think how much the quote unquote getting worse is so subjective. And I don't know how else to define that.
Well, never mind the fact that you're 20 years older. Everyone looks like they're doing a little bit worse when they're 20 years older. You know, unless you're like 10 and you're like at 30, you might be like stellar at peak. But I think what precipitated this is a comment from someone that I think very highly of. This person made a comment that I was looking worse. And I thought I was offended. I was offended because, do I look worse because I was having a bad hair day, or because it was late at night and I was tired? Or do I look worse because I'm using a wheelchair? Or was it not so much my appearance, but just the fact that this person knew I was doing a little worse, and it kind of struck me to the core. It would be like me saying to you, Dan, oh, I saw you walking. You're just not walking as well as you used to. You must be getting worse. I mean, would that bother you if I said that?
Totally. I mean, and those are comments that I, you know, when somebody that you know and or respect, and they make such a comment, and it's just like where they make those comments and lump it all into and chalk it up to multiple sclerosis, this person, back when I was first diagnosed and then had seen me walking and said, oh, I know your MS is getting worse because I saw you walk and your gait has changed so much. And it's like, well, never mind the fact that it was like snowing and I was in slippery dress shoes and I was walking gingerly on the ice. So it's just like the way that people can take it and blame multiple sclerosis. And I mean, what does that do for a person who has MS? And what does that do for their ability, their self-confidence, that it's just like, and then that playing with your mind to think, oh, they are getting worse. And it's just like, just, you know, stop before you say anything there, misjudgmental.
Well, and it's one of those, it's not always a miss or a mister. It could be a mister judgmental or a misjudgmental, as the case may be. I don't like to give, and I've learned this from you, babe, I don't like to give MS more credit than it's due. And when someone tells me that I look like I'm doing worse, I want to say, well, hello, I survived a pandemic. I had 2 years with masks on my face, social isolation, not being with my people, you know, we've talked about the fact that we hadn't had an in-person support group meeting for almost 2 years. So to say that I look worse, I think it's just, as much as I dislike it and as much as the wrinkle creams that I put on my face may say that it's going to keep me youthful, but I think I've just aged. So potentially I was having just a haggard, tired, late night sort of look on my face, but I'm not going to give the disease any more credit than it deserves. Maybe that's just you and me. I imagine people out there listening feel the same way. Don't you tell me I'm getting worse. The only people, because there's more than one, but it's a medical professional. If my neurologist tells me, my physical therapist, I don't just take somebody's opinion of how I look on the surface one day. I'm like, no. Look at my brain. Look at my spinal cord. Then you have reason to make that statement. And maybe it shook me more than it should have. But I think if it doesn't shake me, it's almost like I'm giving up. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'll just be over here moping and being worse.
Like throwing in the towel and just saying, you're right, I'm worse. I should just, you know, quote unquote, give up and say, I'm done here and I can't do any better because I'm getting worse.
Yes, you are picking up what I'm putting down, where I'm just like, I'm not giving up, and maybe I'm having a bad day and I am tired and I'm dragging a little bit, but I'm not, you know, maybe I'm going to use that comment as fuel. Like, if I look like I'm doing worse, what am I going to do to make myself look better? And that puts the onus on me, because I'm sure there are people out there that are like, you're living with multiple sclerosis, you're doing enough. But I don't want to give in to this disease. And so I don't want people to come up to me and say, oh, you look like you're doing worse, to inspire me to fight more. But I am that comment, as much as I appreciated the person's statement, and potentially it was a calling me out, but it has stuck with me in these, you know, 10 days since the person said it, but that it's going to inspire me to push myself a little harder and try a little more, because maybe I was getting in place. I don't know about you, Dan, but do you ever feel like, and maybe it was pandemic where I'm just like, yeah, this is good enough. I mean, I know we've talked about it in the past, where you're just like, oh, this'll do. You know, I don't really have any look forward to. You know, our niece is graduating from high school. I would like to have a little better appearance, or look a little more rested, a little more sun on my face. And so that's something to look forward to inspire me to work a little harder. But again, you, Dan, do comments like that stick with you?
I mean, they do. And I think that with those comments, because, and we've talked about this off air, so to speak, subjectively, I mean, yes, my feet are killing me. And I would say they're a little more numb than they used to be. I've got plantar fasciitis in my feet. That's no excuse, but it's just like, you know, the justification explanation. So no, I'm not walking as well. I mean, for crying out loud, I used to run. So I'm not doing that. But at the same time, I'm walking a little more gingerly, not as, you know, I have a little bit of a limp. And it's just like, how, okay, because I used to run, and am I getting worse now? Potentially. But at the same time, how everything is so subjective, because it's like, okay, so I used to run, but now I'm walking more gingerly, have a little limp because my feet hurt, blah, blah, blah. Quote unquote, oh, Dan's getting worse. But at the same time, though, had I spent the last 5 years, 10 years using a wheelchair, walking like I do now, I would be a hero. And yes, how it is so subjective that, I mean, and I mean, we're just putting it out there. 'Cause I mean, if you woke up tomorrow morning, Comma Jennifer, whom I have known for nearly 20 years and have never known to walk, but if you got out of bed and walked as gingerly as I did, praise be Jesus, this is like a miracle.
Yeah, that would be huge. And I think this is, I don't want this to be an advice show. That's not my that's not my point. But when I was walking, my progression was rather quick with my MS. I was diagnosed. I quickly tried at the time, because keep in mind I was diagnosed way back in the dark ages of the late 90s, but I tried all the different disease modifying therapies, and I progressed from a cane to a quad cane to a walker to a wheelchair. I mean, in the matter of 5 years after my diagnosis. But I remember when I could still walk that I was embarrassed using a walker. That I was like, oh, this ugly thing. And now what I wouldn't give to have that ugly thing. So be, and this is again, I don't want to be preachy or anything, but just look at where you are. You know, thank God I have a power wheelchair. Thank God I'm having a little trouble sitting up straight. And I'm like, okay, you need to work on that. And when you could sit up straight, did you appreciate that? So appreciate where you are. You're right where, you know, you need to be, and just be thankful for it. And if your walker is ugly and you're kind of embarrassed about it, get cute shoes or, you know, put on fun lipstick. Make something good about your appearance to hide that unattractive walker. But be thankful that you're still walking. So that makes sense. And I'm not trying to be preachy. It's experience.
I was going to say, but it is just to give that insight and perspective of what we can and can't do. And I think the big question I have then, as we say, oh, well, somebody said something like I'm getting worse and it made me feel bad or I felt defensive, whatever. But it is a question then, and I'll ask you first, then you flip it at me, or say, no, Dan, you ask, so you answer it first. But it is now 20 years, almost 25 years since you were diagnosed. Are you getting worse? And that's, I guess, I'm asking that question. If somebody said, Jennifer, I can tell you look like you're getting worse, are you?
I would say absolutely not. I don't live like that. I don't want to focus on the stuff I can't do. Yes, I need help eating. Yes, I need help to use the bathroom. I need help to get dressed. But look at me. I'm sitting here talking, using my voice to talk to other people out there with multiple sclerosis so that they can hear my experience. Using my voice to rally 25 people to raise money for the National MS Society this weekend. Using my voice to advocate in Lansing next week. So pick what you're good at and embrace it. And, you know, I'm good at trivia. I'm good at looking at puppy dogs and trying to find the beauty around me. And maybe I'm not walking or I'm not sitting up as well as I used to. But I can't focus on what I can't do, because I think that would make me sad. I mean, just sitting here right now, it's making me sad. And maybe that's denial. And if you're listening and you think I'm full of it and I'm in denial, let me know. Write Ryan. He would love to have a little conversation about that. So now I have to shut up and ask you, Dan, are you getting worse?
I would say no. Am I as good as I was back in the day when I was running 5 miles a day? No, because I was healthier then. I think even then I had multiple sclerosis, but just the overall health and taking care of myself and my aerobic activity and everything. So from that standpoint, I'm not as good as I was, but, and certainly, you know, with a progressive disease, but I, like you, call it denial, but you can't deny it. I mean, we can't deny the fact that, you know, that I am walking more slowly, or that I have no feeling in my hands, or that I get fatigued easily and everything. I mean, that's just, I would say that's just par for the course. You know, that I have a chronic disease, and so am I worse? I think on some levels, sure, but overall, I've never been better, you know, in the sense of what I'm able to do. And you look at your abilities based on where you are. I think that there's that whole thing that it always takes us when we shower in the morning to, but I mean, seriously.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'll be good.
Well, it takes us 2.5 hours in the morning to get out of bed, to shower, to get dressed and get ready for the day. 2.5 hours. Then at night, it takes us from the time we start to get ready for bed and time we have heads on pillows, it's about an hour. So you think on days that we shower, that's 3.5 hours that we're just merely taking care of our hygiene and personal everything.
Okay, and I'm going to rebut this, and okay, I don't it. Know.
Oh, no.
I'm
Do
just,
it.
I'm going to rebut this because, yes, it takes 2.5 hours for us to shower and to get ready. Okie dokie. But we make the bed. We do a load of laundry. We always,
make some coffee.
Make some all-important coffee, even though we have multiple sclerosis bladder issues. And caffeine is not no bueno sometimes, but we do it. And we futz, and we check our email, and we check the weather, and we pick out our clothes. So, you know, it takes 2.5 hours, but if we are really disciplined, and that's not, even though our last name starts with D, disciplined is not in our vocabulary all the time. If we would just really focus, and I'm kind of a, it takes a long time to wash my hair. Not that it's really long, but you know, I don't do things as quickly, and you are correct about that. So it could be a little bit of denial, but I am going to say, if you ever really wanted to try, I think we could do it in easily 2 hours and 25, maybe 2 hours and 45, or an hour and 45 minutes.
I get that, you know, but even at that, you're trimming the fat. It's just like, you know, when I was in church council, we talk about having to cut the budget and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, we do this, we cut here, we cut there. The bulk of the costs in a budget are mere operational, for heating, cooling, salaries and stuff. So what you have left over to cut, there's not a lot. And so, yes, to your point, you know, 2.5 hours, we could trim that down to, you know, 220, 221, whatever it takes. My point being, though, even at that, even on the best day ever, Jennifer, say shower, getting ready in the morning, and then to get ready for bed at night, if we can knock that out in 45 minutes, fine, right? So, but still, even on the best day of that, you know, you're spending 2.5 hours, and I guess to the point, 2.5 hours, and then with all of the waking you have, and then if I go and work for 8 hours, that's 10.5 hours of my day, so that leaves like 6.5 hours, and so then my point at the end then is, if in those 6.5 hours, look at everything that I can accomplish, that I do accomplish in those 6.5 hours, compared to what other people can accomplish in those 6.5 hours. I just think that comparatively with what I can accomplish with the time that I do have available, I would say that I'm more efficient and more effective than I've ever been, even when, you know, before I had MS, before I wasn't dealing with a chronic illness. that my efficiency, so yes, 2.5 hours, and we're doing a load of laundry, we're doing coffee, we're doing picking out clothes and things, but it's just like, we're doing that in unison. I mean, it's not like people, if all I had to do was take care of myself when I shower, if all you had to do was take care of yourself, you know, it wouldn't take as long, but because we have, it's like a shared effort.
A shared effort, not burden. That's
exactly.
It's something we both want.
It's life.
It's life. And that's a good point. And that's where if somebody says, oh, Dan, you look worse, you'll say, oh, no, I take care of myself. I take care of my wife. We efficiently can bathe and get ready for bed. We got that down to 3 hours. I got that routine down. And I'm thinking other people out there listening, you know, they may have children and their routines. It takes 5 hours to get their kids exactly to go to sleep and cleaned up, to have dinner. So we're lucky, and it's important to have these kind of conversations to think about all the things that we take for granted. But my goodness, you know, what if my disease gets worse and I'm not going to be able to do this, or you're not going to be able to do this? So that's why it's so important to have these. And I was a little defensive there, but then when we talk about it, I'm like, yeah, you know, if it does take that long, it's time well spent. It's time when I'm with you, and it's time where we're taking care of ourselves. And that autonomy, that independence, that means a lot to those of us living with chronic illness, especially those of us living with MS.
And I guess that's the question I ask then. When did mere walking determine somebody's status as somebody who's doing well with multiple sclerosis? To say, oh, if you can't walk, it's the worst thing ever, and you've gotten so bad. Whereas like you are so sharp and everything, and everything else is going so well.
And that's kind of where your benchmark is. What's important to you? If you're having cognitive problems, you're probably like, what I wouldn't do to just be in a wheelchair and to have my marbles back. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but to be able to think the way I used to. Or if you're having bladder problems, but you can walk, but you're having challenges that way, you're like, I'll sit in a wheelchair if I could, you know, if my bladder would function the way it used to. Everything is relative. So I suppose that's something, you know, you look like you're getting worse. Who defines worse? You know, I'm 47 years old. And I know some people are like, well, duh, this is stuff a 12-year-old should have. Don't let other people's sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you. And the words that the person said didn't necessarily hurt me, but they definitely gave me pause. No one's ever called me out like that, like, oh, you look worse, to make me examine and evaluate. So as much as I was a little shell-shocked and uncomfortable, I'm just glad that I did have this moment, and we're having this moment to talk about it. And I hope that those of you listening, this is giving you justification or giving you a moment to look back and say, what would define getting worse? And if it is this wretched wheelchair, which isn't really wretched because it's a valuable tool in my life, but if it's that thing that you are afraid of, or if it is having cognitive problems, how can you overcome, or how can you navigate your life thinking about having those problems?
Well, and I think that a lot of that then starts at And it's all real, and I don't ever want, I repeat myself on that, but I don't want people to feel like the problems aren't real, you know, that they're not serious. And, I'm not trying to poo-poo them, but at the same time, a lot of it helps, though, if instead of looking at the things that are lost or you're struggling with, look at what you're doing. It's just like, when I'm at work, there's just certain things I'm not good at. I mean, I'm creative, but it takes me time. It takes me time to do that. So if you want a quick creative idea, don't go to Dickman because he's not going to have it at lickety split. But you want somebody that can help you edit, punctuate, be grammatically correct, everything, you know, the wordsmith to figure that stuff out. I'm the person because, you know, you play to the strength. So it's just like, I don't feel like, oh, I'm so sad that I don't run anymore. But I'm appreciating that I still can walk and appreciating what I have. And I think of the people who would love to have my problems. And so those are things. So when I say, am I getting worse? I say I'm not as good as I once was in this area. However, there's lots of other things that I never thought I could do as well as I do right now.
And that's kind of like counting your blessings. And again, just realizing you're getting older. But you're also getting better. And for that, that's kind of joyful. And I think it's a perfect segue into our moments of joy. We'll be right back with those.
And so, moving into the moments of joy. And are you leading us off, or would you like for me to do that?
I'm going to lead it off. I want to say I am going to have a potential moment of joy on Saturday at the walk, but I am not a crystal ball. So my real life moment of joy is, it kind of makes me chuckle and smile just thinking about it. We had a baby bunny that I noticed under Dan's car. And then he hopped his little self out. And then here came his little baby brother sibling. And then here came another baby bunny sibling. There were three baby bunnies that have been living under Dan's car for this past week. And nothing makes me happier than when those three little furry bunnies just jump out. I don't know them. Obviously, they're bunnies. I don't communicate. But I see them from our front window, and just to see them and just the pure joy that it gives me just to see little bunnies in the spring and the weather is starting to change. So I think my moment of joy are those three little baby bunnies. How about you, Dan? Do you have a moment of joy?
I have an overnight moment of joy, if you will. And it just came this last weekend that we were so tired. And we were just like, but let's watch, because the final seven episodes of the final season of Ozark came out on Friday. And here we are Saturday. It's like, well, let's just watch. And we started watching a couple Friday night. And then Saturday later in the evening, probably around like 9 o'clock or so, we started watching more. And that we had the energy to pull an all-nighter unintentionally to stay up all night to binge the entire last season of Ozark, that at that moment for those 7 hours and not getting done, it was like, I think it was like 4:04 in the morning when it got done, that never once did we look and say, oh, we should go to sleep because of our MS. It's just like, no, we just did it. And we had the energy to do that. And I'm like, that was a moment of joy, just that even after all this time, we were able to do that.
That we were able to do it, and it was on our timetable. And I don't think once, I mean, I just talked about baby bunnies and how joyful and happy they made me. But, you know, Ozark is a very dark show. And that show, you know, that we watched it and were able to see that, that was pretty amazing. And, you know, for those last seven episodes, I never really thought about the fact that I have multiple sclerosis. Until the end, I was like, oh, I probably am going to pay for this. But it wasn't because I have MS. It was more, I'm going to pay for this because I am 47 years old. I don't think it's selfish, but it was just really, really fun. And so that was Dan's moment of joy watching Ozark, but it was joyful for me too. And never will we look back and say, oh, remember that time we went to bed early? No, we're going to look back and say, Remember that time we binge-watched the final 7 episodes of Ozark? So it was really fun, and I'm with you, babe. I think Ozark was good.
Yeah, so it wasn't really like a moment of joy. It was about like a all-nighter moment of joy. But still, it was just the ability to be able to do that. And so, even though Ryan isn't here, he said, hey, for moments of joy, could you read this for me? Because this here is Ryan's moment of joy. And this, he said, he says, you can read on air if you want. And I'm just like, this was good. And so
I'm excited to hear Ryan's moment of joy.
Yeah, because I didn't read it for you before.
I have no idea. So this will be like a sincere response.
It will be. So, okay. So Ryan's moment of joy, he says, in the waiting area for grandma's cancer treatment, there was a tall fake plant in between us. And at the same time, we both parted the leaves to peek at each other. It made us and the two ladies at the desk start laughing.
I could just
see Ryan and his grandma.
I can see that too. And that is sweet. That's cute.
I was going to say the best for laughs. I'm sitting there, you know, we talk about Ozark and dark shows, and then you got this moment with Ryan and his grandma. So thanks for sending that, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. And if you have a moment of joy in your life, we hope you think about it and remember it, because that's cute, Ryan's moment of joy. And just as I was babbling on, as I sometimes do.
Well, no, because you were on fire, and I'm just like, you know, just talking about things.
Yeah, and appreciating the moment. So that was good. So thank you very much today for listening to what defines getting worse and who defines it. I think that's an important conversation to have with yourself, maybe to have with your spouse, your caregiver, care partner, your kids, but most important to find it for yourself.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me. Ryan, the producer, is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.